Thank you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank God for that praise and worship. Thank God for that prayer. Praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, this is the first Sunday, at Communion Sunday, and we give honor and glory to the Lord because I'm just so glad to be here. Amen. And I'm so glad that he gave us good weather so we can worship in his presence. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Those of you that have your Bibles, let's turn to Genesis, the 26th chapter, verse 1. Genesis, the 26th chapter, verse 1. We're still dealing with sowing and how God blesses us. And there's three ways that the enemy can come and take our blessing or our word, because your word is your blessing. If the word is sown on the wayside, birds can come and snatch it up. If it's sown among the rocks, then it springs up, but it doesn't have any roots, and it's taken away. If it's sown among thorns, those are the cares of the world. They can choke the word from growing in our lives and choke it out before it can become mature in our hearts. But if it's sown on good ground, praise God, it brings forth 100-fold, 60-fold, or 30-fold. And what we did was go to Genesis, the 26th chapter, verse 1. And he reads, "And there was a famine in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell of thee. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the principle of harvest. We thank you, Lord God, because the fundamental power of Genesis is able to create in each one of us the power to receive wealth and the power to receive 100-fold. We thank you, Lord God, for bringing us to this place, and we receive your word in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. Sowing the kingdom seed. Sowing the kingdom seed. Yeah. And so we see here that the famine came into the land, and beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac, the son of Abraham, was expected by God to produce a harvest. My God, when we're going through a famine, and beloved, right now there's a famine in the land. And we need to understand that where there is a famine, thank you, Lord, there is a potential for growth. And if we don't recognize it, we'll run from it instead of running to it, and our attitude will mess us up every time. When I look at this passage of scripture, I said, Lord, there's many fundamental things that God is teaching us, and this is actually a Sunday school lesson. When you look at Isaac, and at this is a typical Sunday school lesson that God is using in the body of Christ. And when we teach us this through our Sunday school curriculum, the entire body is receiving the same instruction on Sunday morning. And it's a wonderful thing, amen, that the body of Christ is in one accord. First thing I want to read to you is recognize that in verse 7, and the men of the place ask him of his wife, talking about Isaac. And he says, she is my sister, for he feared to say, she is my wife, lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. My God, that must have been some woman. All right, that must have been some woman. And the verse 8 says, and it came to pass when he had been there a long time that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at the window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. When you're dealing with a famine, your attitude is going to be revealed even in the midst of the famine. Amen. Isaac was sporting with his wife. Now, a lot of times when famine hit, people's attitudes change. They become darker. They become introvert. They don't follow. They don't flow like they should when things are going well. But Isaac said, I don't care if things are going good or things are going bad, if we're in the season of harvest or we're in the season of famine, I'm going to treat my wife and I'm going to sport with her and I'm going to have me a good time. Amen. Hallelujah. A lot of folk don't know how to have a good time in the midst of famine. But Isaac, is his personality, his character, and his relationships, the relationships that you maintain while you're going through the famine, will reveal who you really are. And people can look out the window like Abimelech did and see exactly who you are. This, when you're going through a famine, the opportunity for the world to see who we are. Hallelujah. To see, do you really believe in God? Praise God. Do you really love God? Are you going to change and become moody, or are you going to just maintain your relationships with one another? Sadly to say, there's a lot of people that don't know how to maintain relationships in famine. They only know how to maintain relationships when things are going good, when everything is going fine. But when it comes to a famine, their attitude changed, their personality changed, their processes changed, and before you know it, they become darker and negative. But if you have a covenant in your heart with God, if God has spoken into your life, that's why we got to hear from God, like Isaac heard from God. And when God gives you direction, he says, I don't want you to go to Egypt, I want you to go to the Philistines. What do you mean? I don't want you to go back. I want you to go forward. Yeah. Praise God. This is not the time to go backwards. This is the time to go forward. I know if I go to Egypt, I can get some food. I know if I go to Egypt, I can get this done. I can get that done. But you don't want to go back where God is trying to lead you forward. God always has your best interest in mind. And when God is telling you to go forward, he knows exactly where he's leading you. He knows exactly where he's guiding you. And if he says, go, go. Now he said, go ahead to the land of the Philistines. My God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. When you talk about the Philistines, you're talking about where God raises up giants. Remember that Philistine, Goliath, he was from Philistine. God will take you to the place where the enemy is the strongest. He told Isaac to go there to a place, to the capital of the Philistines, and there I want you to prosper. God said, when Jesus talked to Peter, he said, who do men say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord said, upon that rock I build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. In other words, I am going to build you up at the gates of hell. I'm going to take you in the midst of famine, and I'm going to prosper you. I'm going to bring you to the place where they grow, your enemy grows giants. And I'm going to prosper you in the land where your enemy is supposed to be the strongest. I'm going to prosper you in that land. God could have led Isaac anywhere, but he said, I want you to go to the Philistines because I want to show the Philistines that you may grow things bigger out here, but God can grow me even greater. Hallelujah. God can make Isaac established and strong in the midst of the Philistines. That's why famine is so important, because when things are being removed from you, that's where God said, I'm going to bless you and cause you to prosper. I'm going to cause you to engage in situations while everybody else is selling out, you're buying. While everybody else is running from, you're running to. I'm going to cause you to increase. I'm going to cause you to be blessed. And I'm not going to do it under no curtain, behind no curtain. I'm not going to do it under the cover. I'm going to bless you so your enemies, hallelujah, will see that the blessings of God are upon you. There are times that when the famine comes and lack begins to come, that's when God wants to show off on you. And this is the opportunity for growth. This is the opportunity. See, a lot of people see this time and they say, man, this is bad time. Listen, this time is going to be ending soon. This period of the pandemic, people will see an end to it. But I don't want it to end until I get my blessing. I don't want it to end until I get all that God has for me in the midst of this. I'm going to get it. Thank you, Lord. This thing excites me. And so when we look at 30, 60, 100 fold, we should not be happy with 30 fold. Because when you get, you know, and I love that scripture because it starts out by saying, if you fall, your seed falls on good ground, it brings forth 100 fold. It doesn't start with 30. It starts with 100 fold. Thank you, Lord, because when God says you, he looks at 100-fold. He says, I don't care if there's thorns there, you're going to get 100-fold. I don't care if there's rocks in your field, you're going to bring forth 100-fold. I don't care if some of your seed falls by the wayside, you're going to bring forth 100-fold. And a 100-fold believer is the one that will prune. He will begin to prepare his ground because he knows he's prepared to receive 100-fold. Yeah. The Lord said, break up that fallow ground. Remove the strongholds that are in your life. And when you break up that fallow ground and you remove the strongholds out of your life, you're ready to receive 100-fold. People that receive 30-fold are people that are operating with weeds around them. They're operating with stones around them. And so God is going to bless you, but he can't bless you, hallelujah, at 100-fold because you're letting things like this and things like that, worldliness, hold you back. So some of us get blessed in spite of the fact that we got our attitudes. We're still blessed even though there's stuff, some stuff about us that we need to correct. And God said, I'll still bless you, but don't get satisfied there. Don't get satisfied there. I'm trying to bring forth a 100-fold blessing. No, don't. Some of us get that 60-fold blessing because we got some control over our lives and we're stopping some stuff in our lives. But still, 60-fold is not as much as 100-fold. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So God wants us to bring forth 100-fold. And when you go to Genesis, Thank you, Lord. You'll go to a place where you see the principles that are actually in operation in the life of Isaac, and you'll see how God will bless you. The pressures of famine will force you to leave Hebron and travel to the Philistines. And that's something, now God will tell you, I want you to go here, I want you to go there. And you say, but God, the enemy's over here. But God, there's nothing out there for me. But God said, if you just obey me, do what I called you to do, I'll cause you to prosper in the face of your enemy. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And sometimes the famine will come and you can't dwell there. You got to move. You got to move forward. Amen. Hallelujah. But God always watches and directs the ways of his children. You don't have to worry about, is God got this right? Is he, does he, you know, sometimes you question God, are you sure, Lord, you want me to do this or go here or do that? And it's so different for what everybody else is doing. It's different for what everybody else is saying. And God said, if you just obey me and do what I called you to do, you'll be blessed. And we see here that Isaac became a spiritual beneficiary of a godly parent. God told Isaac, because Abraham was faithful, and and Abraham was faithful there in amongst the Philistines. If you go back to Genesis 12, you'll see the same place that Isaac came to, his father was there earlier, and it was with another king called Abimelech. And God said, I'll bless you, Abraham. I'm going to bless your seed. And suddenly you see Isaac coming on the scene, and God is saying, I'm blessing you because of your father, Abraham. How many of you know that some of the blessings that come to you is because you got spiritual presence in spiritual promises that were brought to you from your parents? There's some things you're going to walk in that because of somebody else praying for you. And some of you got spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers that are praying for you. And the same way God blesses them, he's going to bless you. Hallelujah. That's why I believe in spiritual fathers. I've got plenty of spiritual fathers, spiritual parents in my life as God raised up in the body of Christ. And I receive every blessing that was spoken upon my life. You got some people that say, I don't need a covering. I don't need a spiritual parent. I don't need somebody to cover me. And they're going to stay where they are. They'll never achieve a hundredfold blessing. But when you got people that are going before you and they're getting blessed, hallelujah. Don't be around folk that ain't getting blessed. Hallelujah. When folk are in their own little world and they're not being blessed, run from them. Don't run to them, run from them. But when people are receiving the covering of blessing from generation to generation, I want to get my blessing that way too. The same victory that people faced in the past, I want to face that victory too. And not only that, was he blessed, Isaac blessed, because Abraham was already blessed, and that transference of blessing came upon him as a son. But God said, if you obey me like your father did, I'll bless you even more. Hallelujah. So you just can't ride on the coattail of somebody else, spiritual blessing, or somebody that's gone before you. You got to bring something to the table too. Hallelujah. Woo! Do you see the hundredfold blessing? The Bible said Isaac was able to go there and get a hundredfold blessing. And he was able to do that because he had prepared himself. Hallelujah. He had the right attitude when it came to going through the famine. Hallelujah. And when you look at this, I was doing a study. Hallelujah. When you look at Abimelech, Abimelech, the name Abimelech, is a compound word which represents father and king. It was a royal title that was given to the man or given to the king. When you look at that, it's just like Pharaoh. That wasn't his name. That was his title. That was his position as Pharaoh. And when you look at your Sunday school lesson, you'll see that Abimelech was his title. 70 years before, Isaac's father, Abraham, faced the king of the Philistines named Abimelech. 70 years later, Isaac faces a different man, a different king, but his name is called Abimelech. Hallelujah. You need, as we recognize, the name of the enemy might change throughout the generations, but his title will tell and reveal who he really is. Hallelujah. 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 Just like that title of folk now, they say they're this or they're that, but you can look at it and tell it's the same spirit that my ancestors wrestled with. A lot of times it's the same spirit that my slave grandparents and great-grandparents had to wrestle with. The names are different, but it's still Abimelech. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. When you look at famine, famine is the enemy's attempt. It's Satan's attempt to destroy Abraham's seed through Sarah. Famine is Satan's attempt to destroy the seed. Let me tell you something. We're going through a pandemic, but I guarantee you it's the enemy behind it. And his desire is to destroy your seed, destroy your future, to destroy generations. When you look at famines in the Bible, there are 13 famines that is listed in the Bible. 13. And there's a significance in that number 13. The significance of 13 represents rebellion. 13, when you look at the significance of that number, it represents sin. 13. Hallelujah. That's why when you go to different cities and they can have 25 floors, but they'll never name this floor 13. Look at it. 13 has a pattern to it. There's always been a pattern to it because it represents rebellion, and even the natural world recognizes that when it comes to 13, we want to avoid that at every cost, because the number 13 is not a positive number. It represents a pattern of negative things that occurs on the 13th. Go to New York City, go to Baltimore, go to Detroit, go to Los Angeles. Look at those big high rises and you'll never find the 13th floor. 13. The devil was moving through famines in the Bible. 13 different famines in Abraham's day, in Canaan. Genesis 12, there was a famine. In Isaac's day, Genesis 26, there's a famine. In Jacob's day, Genesis 41, there's famine. In Judges, hallelujah. And all of this is in Canaan, in Canaan. In Canaan, there was a famine. In Ruth, the first chapter, verse 1. When David's day, in the land of Canaan, there was another famine. In 2 Samuel 21, in Elijah's day, in Canaan, 1 Kings, 17th chapter, there comes the sixth famine. And also in Elisha's day, his protege, in 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, in the land of Canaan, here comes the famine. Then you look in Samaria, there came the famine for Elisha. And then even in Elisha's time, in 2 Kings, the 8th chapter, in the land of Canaan, here comes another famine. And the 10th famine comes to Jerusalem during Zedekiah's day. In 2 Kings, the 25th chapter, and Jeremiah, the 14th chapter, in Jerusalem, here comes the 10th famine. In Canaan, here we're back to Canaan again, in Nehemiah's day. When you look at Nehemiah, the 5th chapter, verse 3, here comes another famine. Also in St. Luke, the 15th chapter, verse 14, in an unknown land, here comes the 12th famine. The 13th famine came in the Roman imperial time during Paul's day. In Acts, the 11th chapter, verse 28, here comes the 13th famine. And then the cycle continues to go on and on. It's important that we recognize that what we're going through today, and I'm going to be closing it up, that what we're going through today is not the 13th famine. There's still some more famines that's on their way. And we've got to know that when we get to the 13th one, it's going to start all over again. But you and I have given a covenant with God. You and I have been blessed of the Lord. And God said that every time you go through a famine, I'm going to prosper you. I'm going to cause you to be a blessing to others and to be, hallelujah, show a blessing. Let me show you the attitude. When you're going through famine, Isaac, when God blessed them with 100-fold, the Philistines was envious because they let him lease land that they thought wasn't worth nothing. They're not going to give you the best land to grow your crops in if you're coming into Philistine. They're going to give you the mediocre land. They're going to keep the best land for themselves. And so when they gave AI the land that was just regular, because of the blessings of God upon his life, he began to bring forth much fruit. He increased in servants. He increased in cattle. He increased in lambs. He increased in goats. He increased with harvest. Everything he touched seems to be a blessing. And those Philistines got jealous of him and drove him out. So then he went. He said, okay, still famine out here. And what did God do? God took him to where the wells are that his father Abraham had dug, and those folk that closed off those wells. They blocked those wells. Let me tell you something. People will look on the surface, and they don't see what they need to see. But God will raise up a man or woman of God to go below the surface and get the resources that belong to you, and folk will get so mad, they'll try to cover up your resources. Isaac went, and he dug up Abraham's old well. He got a hold of the water, and the Philistines got so mad that they came and they stole the well from Isaac's men. And what did Isaac do? He said, you blocked me off here. He went on and found another well that Abraham had dug, and they blocked. And he said, he started digging, and they got the water, and the Philistines looked, and they got mad, and they said, they drove them away from that. Isaac noticed his attitude. He didn't get nasty. He didn't get bitter. He didn't get, revengeful. He said, all right, I'll find another well. See, when you're working with God, hallelujah, man can't stop. Oh, hallelujah. They can mess with you. They can hold you back. But God said, just don't get in the flesh. Don't act like a Negro. All right, let me stop. I wanted to say something else. But act like somebody that's got some sense. Stop acting like somebody that's ignorant. I know that God is leading me. I know that God is guiding me. I know that God is protecting me. Two wells and the enemy that blocked off those wells earlier, and I done did all that work to clear them, and now they snatching what I got. Isaac and his men went to another place. Dug where Abraham had another well. And they dug and they got the resources. And God said, you're going to enjoy that. They ain't going to mess with you now. But I wanted to see where your attitude was. I wanted to see, are you worthy of a 100-fold blessing? I wanted to see if you were willing to walk and follow me. And God, and I can guide you through the mess. I can guide you through your enemy. I can guide you around them that's trying to stop you. And if you just humble yourself, if you just say, God, it ain't about me. It's about you. You can let folk get in your way, but you just walk around them. So at the end of the day, Isaac blessed the Philistines with two wells. Sometimes God wants you to bless your enemy. Sometimes God wants you to pray for your enemies. Sometimes God just wants you to be a blessing to the enemy. Even if that wasn't your intention when you first started working on those wells, God said, I'm going to cause you to be a blessing to your enemy. And when he dug that third well, the Philistines came to him and said, we ain't going to mess with you no more. We see that the hand of God is on you. Sometimes you just three wells away. Sometimes you just three wells away from showing the enemy the blessings of God in your life. Turning around and cursing somebody else, don't show the blessings of God. Turning around and being rebellious doesn't show the blessings of God. Being stiff-necked and hard-hearted don't demonstrate the blessings of God. But when you can bless your enemies, when their intentions were to do harm to you, your intentions was to be a blessing to them. That takes a special character. That takes somebody that understands the 100-fold blessing. If you understand the 100-fold blessing, you won't let the weeds come and choke out, hallelujah, your fruit. Remember, hallelujah, stones deal with the root and thorns will deal with your fruit. And you'll let neither one of them mess you up from getting the 100-fold that God has for you. I don't know who I'm preaching to. I want the 100-fold. God, give me the attitude that Isaac had. Give me the attitude that Isaac had. That when folk do you wrong, you still going to be a blessing to them. When folk do you wrong, you still going to be blessed by God. You know folk can't stop your blessings. Hallelujah. If you got something that somebody can stop, it ain't from God. If you got something that people can stop in your life, that ain't from God. But if you got something that no man gave you, but God gave it to me, then you will stand up and be blessed. Anybody get something out of this? We're talking about sowing and reaping. And in the midst of this famine, I'm not going to just get by. God is going to bless me. He is already blessing me. I don't even know what the weather holds in these next Sundays, but I'm trusting God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know man is doing all that talking and fussing and everything else, but I don't hear man. I hear God. Yeah. Well, I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to go here. It's all about my little comfort and my little comfort zone. And God said, I'm taking you out of your comfort zone. You want to go back to Egypt? You go back to Egypt. I want to go right into the face of the Philistines where they grow giants. And I want God to show that even though you grow giants, I'm bigger than your giants. I'm bigger than your Pharaoh. Because it's not that it's on me. It's God that makes me strong. It's God that brings harvest to me. And you change your attitude. Hallelujah. You'll stop kicking the dog. You'll stop pushing around the cats. You'll stop being mean to your wife. You'll stop being mean to your husband. Oh, during this famine, people are doing some strange stuff in their households. And God said, listen, if you really got the presence of God upon you, you'll do like Isaac. I can sport with my wife in the midst of famine. I can show you I still got joy in my life. Even in the midst of famine, I still got joy in my life. I'm not running around, you know, sucking on lemons all day. Hallelujah. I done turned it to orange juice, lemonade. I'm going to receive what God has for me, and I'm going to treat people right during the pandemic. This is not a license for you to mistreat people. This is an opportunity to show who you really are in Christ Jesus. If you had a pleasant attitude before the pandemic, you'll have one during the pandemic. But if you were evil and snotty before the pandemic, it's going to come out during the pandemic. We're going to find out who you really are. It's coming out. We're going to see exactly who you are. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for a word in season. Thank you for showing us how we can move to 100-fold. We thank you, Lord God, because your blessings are upon us, and we receive your blessings in the name of Jesus. Cause each one underneath the sound of my voice to not be satisfied with 30-fold, to not be satisfied with 60, but that we'll grow and receive 100-fold in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. I was reading the history of that land and the Philistines. And when you look at the history, they tell you that the only thing you can expect out of that land and out of the conditions of that soil was 25% to 50% harvest out of that land. And some people, they're looking at it and they say, you ain't going to get 100-fold out of this. You're only going to get 25 or 50. And God says, I'll make that challenge. If you go where I send you, if you listen to me and don't listen to them, I will bring you to a place that is limited and show you unlimited blessings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Unlimited blessings to come from the hand of God. And even though when you get blessed, you'll have more enemies when you get blessed. You know, there are times I said, man, I was doing better before I got blessed. Because after I got blessed, I had more enemies, more trouble, more problems. people envying and strife, and you know, man, the more I mean, before the blessing came, people didn't mess with me. Before the blessing came, I didn't have these problems. But as soon as I started getting blessed, I started having problems. But don't get despair. God's looking for you to behave like a Christian through your problem. And if you behave like a Christian ought to behave while you're going through your problem, God will cause your problem to be at rest with you. Those that are envying you, struggling with you, God said, I'll make them be at rest with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I thank you, Jesus. I tell you, I love the word. I love what God is doing. Those of you that have your Bibles, we're going to prepare for our communion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 23, it says, For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the elements of unleavened bread and for the fruit of the vine that represents our new covenant with you and also represents, Lord, hallelujah, our New Testament. We pray, Lord God, that you'll bless this table, the hands that prepared it. Bless, Lord God, the unleavened bread that represents the body of our Savior. Bless the fruit of the vine that represents the blood of Jesus. For we know that without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission of sins. But we thank you for it, Lord God. You've been good to us. You've been faithful to us. And this last communion of this year, we receive knowing that we still maintain a covenant relationship with you. We still maintain a covenant relationship with the body of Christ. We still maintain a covenant relationship that we have with our families and with those around us. And Lord, we thank you for the harvest. We thank you for as we take of this cup, Lord, we shall be healed. As we take of this cup, Lord, we shall be blessed. And we thank you that when we drink of it and eat of it in heaven's presence, we will be gloriously transformed. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The body and blood of our Savior. Peel back the first cover, and that'll reveal the wafers, and peel back again
and it'll reveal the juice. Hallelujah. Let us examine ourselves. Thank you, Lord. Let us examine ourselves. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.